I ask you all to please join me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, guide our thoughts and our words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite quotes by someone who was declared a saint, and I think who earned that designation, St. Francis of Assisi supposedly said almost 800 years ago, "Preach the gospel constantly, use words when absolutely necessary." In other words, the way we live shows what's on our hearts. The way we live shows our priorities. If you find someone who is a parent who loves their children, who sacrifices to provide what their children need to be healthy and strong, who seek to educate their children and to build up their intellect, to build up their children's gifts, who seeks to help their child be the best that they can be and does all this out of love and compassion, well, then you know that that person is truly a devoted parent. Their lives show it. If you know someone who goes out into the community and volunteers, maybe they volunteer by mentoring a student in the schools or visiting one of the classrooms in the schools, or maybe they go out and they help at the food pantry, they help at the homeless shelter, they help with one of the addiction recovery centers, they visit the elderly, they write cards to those who are sick or who are suffering. If you see that, you know that that is a person who truly cares for others as their brothers and sisters, their fellow children of God. And likewise, if you see someone around the church who makes the coffee every week, or who volunteers in the Sunday school class, or who sets up the tables so that we can be ready for the next Bible study or something like that, then you know that that person believes that this place, this congregation, can help people know the love of God better. And their time and their efforts, if they do all this with joy in their heart, not out of a sense of obligation, but because they want to serve, you know what is truly on their heart. And we could go on and on. Each one of those candles behind me has a story of how somebody, through the way that they lived their lives, shined the light of God's love out into this world. And the way that they lived demonstrated what was truly on their hearts. We are called to be saints. And to be a saint does not just mean that you were a really amazing person and that some denominational organization decided to officially declare you a saint. Hey, and the good news is you don't even have to be dead to be a saint. To be a saint is to say, I will seek to follow Jesus Christ. And at the heart of that is I will seek to put the love of God first in all aspects of my life. And when we do that, our light shines out into the world because God, it's almost like God uses us like a lantern that's got some kind of a focus on it. The light of God's love can be magnified in our lives and can shine out into the lives of others. The call, though, to put God first in all things is not always one that people heed. If you wanted to summarize the story of the Scriptures, you might summarize it like this. God says, love me, enter into relationship with me, put that relationship first, and I will guide you in all other relationships and endeavors in life. And humanity frequently in the Scripture says, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. And then trouble comes. That's certainly the story of our Scripture passage for today. Now, the prophet Haggai is an interesting individual. One, his prophecy isn't very long. I mean, it's really short. It's two chapters. You can totally, after we leave, you'll have enough time to read it before the football games start today. I promise you. And unlike most of the prophets, we actually have a pretty darn good idea when he actually wrote it. We think almost everything that God asked him to do, he did in the year 520 BC. Some things had happened to his people, to God's people. And Haggai was speaking to people who had been through a lot. 66 years before, an army from the Empire of Babylon had come to Jerusalem. They were angry at the king of Jerusalem. They were angry at the king of Judah because the king of Judah had broken a treaty. And so they sacked the city of Jerusalem and they carried thousands of people off into exile in what's now modern Iraq. They call it exile in the Bible, translation, prisoners of war and slaves. But the Empire of Babylon did not last long, and a few decades later, another empire came into existence, the Persian Empire, centered in what's now modern Iran. And the king of Persia was a more merciful individual, and he said to the people who were the Jewish exiles in Babylon, "Oh, some of you would like to go home? Well, yeah, that's fine. You can go. You don't have to stay here forever." And so, thanks to their great king Cyrus, some of the exiles returned. Haggai was speaking 18 years after the exiles had returned to Jerusalem. And Haggai said, "We've got a problem, everybody. You've focused on yourselves, but you haven't focused on God." One of the ways that we see this is Haggai talks about you've built yourself paneled houses. That was a way of showing your wealth and your power and your luxury in those days. You would get panels of wood from the cedars of Lebanon, and you would have them floated down the Mediterranean Sea and brought over the hills to Jerusalem, and you'd put them up in your house. And I'm guessing since cedar smells pretty good, it made your house smell good. And it was really expensive. And Haggai said to the people, "Yeah, you've built cedared houses. And God's house, the temple on top of Mount Zion, is in ruins. Instead of building a building so that we can worship God in that building, there are just burned out ruins and an altar where people are offering sacrifices to God." And Haggai basically said, "Hey, guess what? Crops haven't been good lately. Things haven't been going well for us lately." Haggai believed it was because the temple had not been rebuilt. And Haggai said, "If the temple is rebuilt, we will have our priorities back in order and we will be putting God first, not our own comfort and our own luxury first." And Haggai had one last way that he was a very strange prophet in the Bible. It appears people actually listened to him. They actually built the temple back up. Haggai may be about the only prophet in the Old Testament that anyone actually listened to and did what God said to do through them. So what's the message for us today? Well, we are fortunate. No one has come and burned down our temple. We do not need to rebuild the temple. We need to maintain this building so that it can be a good tool for God to use to do ministry here in Sterling, Illinois. But that's not what the story is about. That's not what the message is for us today. Rather, the message is to think, are we putting God first or are we putting ourselves first? Are we ignoring God and worshiping God, and instead we're putting up the equivalent of the panels in our houses today? Are we focused more on our money? Are we focused more on our enjoyment? Are we focused more on something that is not of God rather than putting God at the center of our lives? And this isn't just about church. Even if we were to spend a lot more time here at church, are we also remembering that what God asks does not just involve what we do within these walls, but in the ways that we interact with people out in our wider community? I was trying to think, what are some of the things that all of us at different ages and stages of our lives can do to be a blessing to others? So, if you're a teenager out there today, particularly a high schooler, is there anything you could do for the younger kids in our community? Could you mentor or volunteer with a team, maybe? Or join Big Brothers, Big Sisters? If you're a kid, is there anything you're good at in school that someone else that sits at your group in school isn't, that you could help them learn a little bit better? If we're an adult, where is the need in our neighborhood? Did our neighbor break their leg recently and they could really use some help with the leaves? Or they could really use some help running some errands? And the list goes on and on and on. How can we use our time, our talents, our treasure to be a blessing to the people around us? God is asking us as a family of God to build each other up in faith as in this congregation and to go out and to make the Sauk Valley be a little bit more like the place that God wants the entire world to be in Jesus' name. And honestly, there's ways that we can help even beyond our local neighborhoods and our local communities to the wider ends of the world as well. The message of Haggai is put God first. And if you do, everything else falls into place. And I have no doubt. Now, I admit, I only knew one of the people well, that the name of the names that we mentioned there today. But each of these people put God first. They let God's light into their lives, and they shined it out, and that's why we remember them today. And we are called to do likewise. We are called to be guided by God. So two final thoughts, and don't worry, they're short. Haggai spoke, if you follow God, Haggai believed the rains would come and the fields would prosper. I cannot promise you that you will have material prosperity by putting God first in your life. I can promise you that God's love will be in your life. God's light will shine into your life. You will be blessed and you will be a blessing. You will know greater peace, you will know greater purpose, and you'll have the strength to do whatever God asks you to do. And if something doesn't go right in life, you'll have the strength to face it in Jesus' name. And here's the second thing. Even the saints mess up sometimes. Even if we say, I am going to put God first in my life, God will guide all the decisions I make in my life, and then something goes wrong, and we kind of fall away. We don't focus on God. But our God is a God of grace. Christ Jesus came to say to the world, you can be forgiven. So if you have tried to put your focus on God, if you have tried to make God your priority and something went wrong, there is hope. God does not have a one-strike policy. God does not even have a three-strike policy. God offers grace and abundance. God will say to you, let's try again. Let me change your heart. Let me change your life. Allow me to work through you. Allow me to show you how to follow what Jesus Christ taught us. And if you do, you will bless this whole world and you will shine the light of my love out into this world. So, brothers and sisters, I ask you, where are your priorities? Is God your priority? And if not, how can God be more your priority? And oh, what a difference it makes in our lives when we put first things first. And oh, what a difference we can make when we let God guide us and shine the light of God's love out into the world. Let us all be saints. In the name of our Savior, our teacher, and our hope, the one who told us of the eternal life that God offers, Jesus Christ. Amen.